Hey there, Tailgate Nation. The Grill Sergeant John Largent, and we've got a great show for you this week, and I want to thank you for your continued support of Tailgate Radio and our sponsors. You know, our sponsors help keep this show free for you to download at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, and many other syndicators across the country. Thanks again for your support, and I hope you enjoy this special Super Bowl edition of Tailgate Radio.
From coast to coast and border to border. It's Tailgate Radio. Here's your host, the Grill Sergeant, John Legend.
Up in the parking lot, got the bill on lights, and the grill is hot. On your mark, get set, baby, ready or not, we're gonna get some. We got ribs and things, chicken and baked beans, plates and styrofoam, we came to get it on. Daylight and dark, whenever we all park, just get some. Cause everybody wants some.
Welcome back, Tailgate Nation. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of Tailgate Radio. I'm the Grill Sergeant John Largent, and we've got a fabulous guest for you this week. Football analyst Jason Fairchild is going to give us his year in review of college football, how did the playoff systems work, and he's also going to talk to us about the NFL playoffs, his thoughts on the catch with Dez Bryant. He's a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a Packers fan, so there might be a little friction there. I don't know. But he's also going to give us his prognostication on this Sunday's Super Bowl between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. We've got all that and a whole lot more on this week's episode of Tailgate Radio. And I want to thank you guys once again for your continued support of the show. You know, we continue to grow our audience each and every week. We've got more syndicators and we've got more folks listening to us on demand through iTunes and the TuneIn app and Stitcher Radio and Podomatic and over on our website at Tailgate Radio. And if you get a chance, go over to Tailgate Radio and check out our website because we've got some great links there. We have some great sponsors like Harry's.com, take care of all of your shaving needs. Bombas, the folks over at Amazon, they're great partners. You can go over to our website and click on the Amazon link, and that'll take you over to their great site. And if you buy something through our site, they kick back a few ducats to us to make sure that we keep the lights on here at the studio. So we've got all of that, as well as the other big link on our site is our merchandise. We've got the Tailgate Radio shirts, and I have been told that 25 new designs are going to be out on the site for March 1st. So all you NASCAR folks that are getting ready to gear up for the season, we'll have some awesome shirts as well as our standard football shirts as well, and we want you to check that out. And they do a great service for us over at Shirtsicle. They're our preferred official merchandise partners, and we certainly appreciate everything that they're doing for us. Folks, we got a jam-packed show, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to have football analyst Jason Fairchild breaking down the year that was 2014-2015 football season. We'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. So what have you planned for the big day? Maybe dinner and a movie, or picking up flowers and chocolates for that special someone? What have you done for yourself? Let me tell you, Harry's can help take care of you by helping you look your best for Valentine's Day. And just for Valentine's Day, listeners to Tailgate Radio are going to get free engraving on the Chrome Winston Razor with the promo code GAMEDAYVALENTINE at checkout. The Chrome Winston set includes a razor, 3 quality blades, and your choice of Harry's shaving cream or foaming shave gel. Save $15 and get the engraved Winston set for just $25 with promo code GAMEDAYVALENTINE. The giftable Winston set is perfect for Valentine's Day. The engraved set comes wrapped in a sleek gift box and includes a premium customizable card. Take the hassle out of giving the perfect gift this year and give the gift of Harry's. You know, Harry's was started by two guys passionate about creating a better shaving experience for all men. And Harry's delivers a superior shave. I've been a Harry's customer now for over a year, and I can tell you it's the best shaving experience I've ever had. So go to harrys.com right now, and you can get free $15 engraving on the Chrome Winston set with promo code GAMEDAYVALENTINE on your first purchase. Save $15 and get the Chrome engraved Winston set for just $25. That's harrys.com. And enter the coupon code GAMEDAYVALENTINE. Harrys.com.
Hey, this is Jake the Snake Plumber, and you're listening to Tailgate Radio.
And welcome back to Tailgate Radio on this all-football edition of the show. As we get ready for Super Bowl 49 coming to us from Glendale, Arizona, as the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots get ready to do battle this Sunday. And there's not a better person I can think of to wrap up the 2014-2015 football season in the NFL and in the college ranks than my guest football analyst, Jason Fairchild. Jason, welcome to Tailgate Radio.
Thanks, John. I appreciate being here today. What's going on, man?
We're
going
to talk about the Super Bowl that's coming up this Sunday in a little bit, but I want to take a step back and let's talk about the college football season. First year of the playoffs, you had this committee that met in a smoke-filled room somewhere with some football greats, some folks from the world of politics. It was an interesting process. So at the end of the day, the number four seed goes through, runs the table, wins the national championships. What are your thoughts on the process overall, and what are your thoughts on Ohio State taking the national championship?
I think if you look at it, John, the process for the first year was a success. I think the committee got a little lucky with Ohio State running the table. You know, they beat a real, real overrated Wisconsin team in the Big Ten championship. Wisconsin was not a good team. They were the best team out of a horribly weak division. Having said that, you know, Ohio State was a great example of what we, you know, commonly refer to in the NFL playoffs. It's not necessarily the best team, but who's playing the best at the time. Having said that, I do think Ohio State was probably the best team this year. They got, and they also got hot at the right time. Moving forward the next year, I think there's a lot of things the committee's going to do differently. I still think we're probably four teams away of getting this thing exactly right. I think eight's where we need to be. Six teams would make it a lot better, but I think ultimately eight's where we need to be. But all in all, I think it was a success for the first year. And Ohio State, you know, proved the committee right. With a little bit of luck, probably so. But nonetheless, you know, they won it.
What are your thoughts and what other recommendations might you have for that committee? I know that there are a lot of folks calling for a 6-8 team expansion of that playoff model. Is there anything else you see with that structure that would enhance that or make it more credible? As you said, at the end of the day, it came out pretty good for all those involved, but there was still a ton of speculation, especially in the state of Texas, with both Baylor and TCU getting left out. And of course, there was always conspiracy thoughts that they were small liberal arts schools and didn't have the name recognition of the folks that ultimately got in the playoffs. But do you have any other recommendations that you think would even further enhance that besides the just the expansion?
I think the first thing they got to do, John, is they got to hold the rankings back. They got to hold releasing them. I would really say, man, to the first, second week in November. I don't know if they'll wait that long because I do think they like the publicity that's generated around that, but I think that's the first thing that's going to help them a lot is to hold those rankings back. Let's watch three or four more weeks of football and let a lot of this stuff go ahead and play out. Now, it's not all going to play out, which is good and bad. It's good because that's what keeps us tuned in. That's the reason we love college football, is tying everything to that last week. I think that they probably regret the way they handled the TCU-Baylor thing. I'm personally believe that TCU should have been in the top four. I think you have to look at when losses occur, who teams lose to. And I think head-to-head matters. I was a big guy early on saying that head-to-head was the end-all, be-all. But as things played out, as games were played, as we got to the end of the season and watched, I can't say honestly that I think head-to-head is the ultimate. I think more than head-to-head, the Big 12 not having a championship game, unless they have a team run the table and go undefeated, the Big 12 is going to get left out. And people that think that this was just a one-year thing are kidding themselves. And I'm a Big 12 guy at heart. I grew up in the great state of Texas. But until they get a championship game, unless they have a team go undefeated, the Big 12 is going to be on the short end of the stick until that playoff gets to 6 or 8 where they can, you know, work some more teams in.
So you're not buying the chairman of the NCAA committee that chose the playoff team that said the fact that the Big 12 didn't have a championship game really didn't weigh that heavily. You're not buying that.
I don't, for the simple fact, it's just I can't buy the smoke and mirrors of dropping TCU from 3 to 5. If they would have went from 3 to 4, they still get in. But to go from 3 to 5, the committee meets for weeks and weeks and weeks during the season. They knew how poor Iowa State was. They knew that TCU was going to beat Ohio State by 50 points. Everybody knew that the chances of that happening were likely. So there's no reason that it should have played out like it did, in my opinion, with the committee. They saw all this happening. They knew from day one the Big 12 would not have a championship game this year. That didn't sneak up on anybody. So, you know, I'm not really buying it, John.
Do you think crowning of Marcus Mariota as this year's Heisman Trophy winner, did they get that right?
You know, it's hard to argue against him. I'm an eye test guy a lot more than I'm a statistics guy. Marcus Mariota had a tremendous year statistically. He led his team. It's hard really to find any faults with him other than maybe the way he played in the Arizona game early in the season when they got beat. Having said that, it's hard for me to say someone is deserving of the Heisman Trophy when I don't believe they're going to have success at the next level. I do not believe in Marcus Mariota at the NFL level. I think he's somebody that's going to hang around for 3 to 5 years because he's a smart kid. He's very talented, but I don't believe that his game transfers to the NFL. I believe he's a system quarterback because, like I said, he's not going to be somebody that's going to give you any problems off the field. He's going to stay in the film room. You know, he will be the first one in and the last one out, which is what they want from NFL quarterbacks. But at the end of the day, I just don't think he's going to have the physical tools that translate to make him a starting NFL quarterback.
Let me ask you this real quick, because if you had taken out the name Marcus Mariota and placed in the name Johnny Manziel, would you still have the same? Because you said he's a systems guy. Which he was at A&M, even though he was a freewheeler, and he had great athletic skills and he had a great college career. But as of today, that hasn't really translated to the NFL.
If you look at it on paper, you could say yes. My answer is going to be no, and here's why. I got the opportunity to watch both of them play in person. I saw Manziel play 3 times. I only got to see Mariota play once in the game, the championship at Ohio State. But having said that, there was a palpable electricity in the air when Manziel stepped on the field. There's something different about him. And it's the it factor. We hear about it all the time. You know, you probably start hearing about it in high school. And then if you're a sports junkie like we are, you hear that term all the time in college and in pros, and it really goes across the board, John, with every sport. But you just can't coach it. You just can't see it. The problem with Manziel's got problems off the field. But when he steps between those white lines, there's something about it. I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback by any means, but I honestly believe Manziel has a better chance of being a successful pro quarterback than Mariota does. Because there's just something about it when he steps on that field. There's something about he makes everybody around him better. I didn't think Mariota did that in the national championship game, and he needed to do it. He needed that night to bring everybody else up, and he just couldn't. I don't want to take anything away from Ohio State either. They dominated that game. Let's you know, make no bones about that. The final score wasn't close to the actual game if you watched it.
Yep.
But again, having said that, you know, I have no allegiance to Manziel or Org or anything like that, but there's just something about Manziel. And until, you know, he proves otherwise, you know, I think he's got a better chance.
I'm here with Jason Fairchild, football analyst, and when we come back, we're going to jump right into this week's activities in the NFL. We'll take a quick look and review, and we'll get his prognostication on this year's Super Bowl from Glendale, Arizona at Super Bowl 49. We'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Foam Finger Maker.
Mr. Giant Foam Finger Maker.
Without you, our teams would be in sixth or seventh place and feel as if they were in sixth or seventh place.
Can you feel it?
Carefully, you craft uncanny representations of actual human hands
so
that we may wave them annoyingly in the faces of our rivals.
In your face.
They're enormous, yes, yet one size fits all. Brilliant.
Raise them to the sky now.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Foam Finger Maker, and know we speak for sports fans everywhere when we say, no, you're number one.
Giant Foam Finger Maker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Icky Woods, and you're listening to Tailgate Radio.
Back here on this week's Super Bowl edition of Tailgate Radio with football analyst Jason Fairchild. And Jason, this week, the big game, Super Bowl 49, Glendale, Arizona. You've got the Seattle Seahawks and those dastardly New England Patriots. They've been accused of everything but killing children. I mean, it's been a very interesting week, and really hasn't felt like the lead up to the biggest game of the year.
It hasn't at all, John. In fact, today I think is actually the first day that nationally I've actually felt like we started talking about football. Having said that, I completely understand why all the time has been given to Deflategate. I put that completely on the Patriots, but yeah, we've wasted a good 3 or 4 days missing some really good football talk about two really really good football teams. One of them that, in my opinion, I would say is just a really good all around football team. They've got probably one of the best coaches in the NFL, probably in the history of the NFL. Definitely one of the best quarterbacks. And then you got another team that, man, I can't say that I've ever seen a defense like this. You know, talking about that electricity in the air, I want New England to take the ball first because I want to see the Legion of Doom come out and drop the hammer on the Patriots.
Yeah, well, you know, the game itself, I think it's going to be phenomenal. And I know you're a Cowboys fan. I'm a Packers fan. We've both felt heartbreak. Before we talk about the game itself, let's just take a step back and talk about the playoffs. As a Packers fan, I can tell you that that was a catch. Unequivocally, that was a catch. And you've got a unique perspective because I know your background. But from an officiating standpoint, they've got to change that rule. It's just not good for business.
They're overthinking it, John. That's the deal about the NFL. They come up with these rules, the competition committee sits in a room in the off season, and they got three or four guys that know football, in my opinion, and probably three or four guys or six or seven guys that don't have a clue, but yet they write checks. So that gets them to sit at the table, and they come up with this, oh man, this will be a great idea based upon this one or two plays. Let's put this in. And they overthink it. They let common sense go right out the window. Then they print it in a book and hand it to a referee. And once they put it in that book, the referees have to do what's written in the book. I don't fault them at all. I have no you know, they've got to do what's written in the book, no matter how absurd, no matter how lame that we think the rule is, the referee's hands are tied. So, yeah, the NFL overthinks way too much, way too much.
Yeah, I mean, if you think, you know, the play they based the Dez Bryant non-catch on was the Megatron catch from a couple of years previous, which also was
Which was a touchdown, too, by the way.
Yeah, it was. It was. And so I think it just takes away from the game. I think it detracts from the game. I think in that particular game, the referees were way too involved from the standpoint, like you said, that they're just in, they're like policemen. They don't write the laws. They just enforce them. And you can't fault the referees, but the folks that are making those and that competition committee that meets in the off season really does need to take a step back and, like you said, maybe apply a little more common sense to those rules, because it really does, as a fan, and when you've got the athletic prowess of somebody like Dez Bryant, who is just a beast, you're neutering him in a lot of ways, and you're neutering other guys that are similarly blessed with those talents, and because the guy was trying to make a play. He was trying to tack on some yards and get in the end zone.
But it's so frustrating to hear, you know, when they have to start justifying how it was the right call. When you start talking about, we don't care how many steps you take, well, yeah, you do, because we've preached about steps forever and getting 2 feet down in bounds. And then we have to start deciding what's the football move and what's not. You know, I love, the best analogy that I like is that, is using baseball replay, especially with balls and strikes. I would say high 90% of the time, the umpires get it right. When they go back and they have coaches challenging safe routes, majority of the time, the umpires get it right. I truly believe that that could translate over to any sport, as long as the guys are putting in the time in the offseason to get the training in, watch plays, you know, go over their mechanics. You know, making the right calls, being in the right spot.
Let's talk about Super Bowl 49. Your thoughts on the game, and what are your predictions?
I do believe that Deflategate has had a mental effect on the Patriots. You know, what comes out of this, who knows? But, you know, body language is a lot to me, even though we're talking about professional athletes. It is a beating for them. I think when Robert Kraft stepped off that plane and put the NFL on notice, that was huge. You know, Kraft's not a big rah-rah guy anyway, but I think that Deflategate has had a mental effect on the Patriots. I think they're a little bit behind in their green preparation. I expect them to start off a little bit slow. I expect it to be a competitive game. I don't expect a lot of points. I think Seattle's defense is unbelievable. I expect Sherman and Earl Thomas to be at the top of their game. I don't think their injuries or anything that's going to hamper them. I have no reason to believe that Russell Wilson is not going to play well. I think that if New England keeps it close and has a chance to win it, it's going to be somebody that nobody's game planning for. And my pick for that is Danny Amendola. Gronkowski and Edelman are Brady's two favorite targets, but Amendola showed you in the Baltimore game that he's still a top receiver in the NFL. So having said that, I like Seattle 27-21.
I know we're doing a lot of prognosticating. Who do you think is going to be the MVP of the game?
If Seattle wins the game, Wilson's going to get the MVP. Wilson is going to have to play well for Seattle to win. I think Seattle tries their best to stop Lynch. I don't think anybody can. I think you can limit Lynch. He may not have 175 yards, but I'll be surprised if he doesn't end up with right at 100 yards. But Russell Wilson is going to, if Seattle wins, Russell Wilson will be your MVP. You know, John, I think one more thing, too, is that Wilson knows in the back of his mind that his defense can win the game for him. And they may very well do that because they're that good. So I think that's another thing that lets him put it in chill mode, because he doesn't – I'm going to make a broad analogy here, and I know I'm going to get killed by a bunch of our listeners, but he reminds me a little bit of Trent Dilfer when Trent Dilfer played with the Ravens. You ain't got to go out there and win it, but as Ray Lewis said, just don't lose it.
Yep, now, manage the game.
Trent, much better. Right. Wilson is much better than Trent Dilfer. So, again, it was a broad analogy. I hope our listeners don't kill me next time we're on. But their defense is just as good or not better than the Ravens were back then. So, you know, Wilson is good enough. He's going to make some plays. He can't help but make plays because he's a tweet. But having that defense sure does make it easy to throw it out of bounds and punt if you have to, John.
I'm here with Jason Fairchild, football analyst, and before we wrap it up, the biggest question of Super Bowl 49 coming to you from Glendale, Arizona, is where is Jason Fairchild going to be on Super Bowl Sunday? And what's he going to have on the menu?
Jason Fairchild is going to be watching the Super Bowl in Corpus Christi, Texas, down in South Texas. We're going to have some hot wings on the menu, guys, with blue cheese dressing. We're going to have some cold shiner. Probably a little cheese, Rotel cheese dip with some meat. I'm a big meat guy, so I like meat in my cheese dip. Some smoked jalapenos with cheese, and then you gotta have some homemade cookies, man. So probably some snickerdoodles, maybe some peanut butter cookies, but gotta have a little cookies at the end of the day when to pay that trophy.
Man, that's old school. I love that menu. That's old school, man.
Hey man, you don't need to trick it up, man. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There you go. Folks, that's Jason Fairchild, football analyst and Super Bowl prognosticator. And we look forward to having you back next season. And thank you for coming in this week to Tailgate Radio.
Had a great time, John. Can't wait till next season, man. It's going to be fun.
You're listening to Tailgate Radio.
Time is right to use a Spud Spike. Oil and spice make it fast and nice. Crispy on the outside, fluffy in the middle. Don't you just love the Spud Spike?
Spud Spike's the original food-grade stainless steel 6-inch baking potato perfection system. It's made right here in the USA. The Spud Spikes, along with our gourmet potato skin rubs and everyday seasonings, are perfect for baking, barbecuing, cookouts, grilling, steaming. They're good for indoor and outdoor kitchens, campers, RVs, tailgating, barbecue lovers, brats, sausages, and perfect holiday gifts for that special loved one. Just a nail? I don't think so. The Spud Spikes Baked Potato Perfection System. Buy it online now at spudspikes.com. That's spudspikes.com.
It's right to use a Spud Spike. Your oil and spice and make it fast and nice. It's crispy.
Welcome to Tailgate Training Camp with your hosts, the Grill Sergeant, John Largent.
Just when you thought it was safe to put away all your tailgate gear, clean up your grill, and hide it away in the garage for the summer. Not on my watch. Tailgate Training Camp is coming in March, and it's going to be a great new show, a short format show, 15 to 20 minutes long, and we're going to be interviewing some of the top chefs in the world, as well as reviewing some of the best tailgating gear and products out there on the market. So look for Tailgate Training Camp coming this spring in the month of March, right here where you're listening to Tailgate Radio. And speaking of great products, you know, I just came back from the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I've got some more highlights of that show. Let's take a listen.
Here at the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm here with Greg Wilson. He is the head guy.
I'm basically the head of operations, CEO, and president of Wrecking Ball Helmets. I'm also known as Wrecking Ball.
Nice.
That is my... I guess my, not my stage name, but my game name whenever I go out and about.
And for those listening, Wrecking Ball Helmets, I'm looking at your booth, tremendous pop visually. Where did the inspiration for these wearable helmets come from?
Well, it actually goes pretty far back. So I was an officer in the Canadian Air Force, and back in 1995, I was posted to a helicopter squadron in Shearwater, Halifax, and basically what happens on the weekends, you know, you're there's always a barbecue in the summer, so the guys would get together, and one time, you know, they'd have the wives and kids, and one guy decides to come out, he wears his helicopter helmet on. You know, I don't know if you've seen a helicopter helmet, they're kind of roundish and large, and you know, obviously he got all the attention, everyone had a picture with him, and you know, the girls thought it was cool, and all the guys get jealous. So the next week, the next barbecue, everyone shows up with a helicopter helmet on. Well, then the next guy, and then everyone's trying to one up. So then the third week, someone shows up and paints his. Paints it like a baseball. Next guy shows up, paints it like a basketball. And afterwards, it's turned into a tradition. So every weekend, we had this thing going on. And then I remember sitting back in the mid-90s going, man, this is a great idea, but who the heck's going to buy a $2,000 helicopter helmet and take it to sporting events? So I've always had the idea in my mind. Well, I'm an aerospace engineer by trade. And so I basically reinvented the helmet or the ball, so to speak, and found a way of basically downsizing it. Well, I didn't downsize it. The one I'm wearing right now, this enormous one, is the one, the first one I ever made. I thought it was just for myself. I was going to be a fan at a sporting event. And, I showed up to the sporting event not knowing. I thought, oh, man, people are going to think this is awful. They're going to like it. But the complete opposite. Your reaction is the same as everyone else's reaction. It's a smile.
Yeah.
It's just complete, like, wow, that guy looks like he's having the best time over anyone else. Pictures, just like it was when I was in those barbecues back in the military. So to make a long story short, after 200 people a game or more come up to you and ask you to buy a helmet, you say, well, maybe I don't want to just be a fan anymore. I really got to do something with this. So went out, spent the time and got 18 patents applied. And so far I've been issued 16 patents. And we basically, if you put a ball on your head for any sport, I own that patent. And we've defended that patent successfully once already. And what's happened now is that we've basically been able to find a way to downscale even the one I make and make a version which is very very aesthetic. You can see it looks good on men, women. It has no demographics. It's blue collar, white collar. No, it's not. We have kids as young as 12 that can wear it and have fun. We have adults as old as 60 who have fun. And then the first reaction, as soon as you put it on your face, you beam with a smile. Even though you don't see yourself, you know you look funny. And it's a way to show your fandom, right? It's like the ultimate expression of a fan. I call it imagine a cheesehead, but it's not limited to one sport or team. As you can see, I can do any sport, I can do any team, I can almost do any occasion. I have 120 of these things. If I wanted to, I could wear one virtually every day. I could find a reason to wear one. And so that's kind of, in a nutshell, that's kind of the morphing of how we got to this point right now.
Now you're a brand new company, right?
Brand new. I've been developing my product under the Wrecking Ball Helmets LLC name for the last 3 years, 4 years actually. But this is the first time where I've had the product. We've finally had our overseas manufacturers finally perfected it. It took us over a year and a half to develop the manufacturing side. Very complicated, and I'm not afraid to admit we struggled with manufacturing overseas. We had to use 3 or 4 different manufacturers till we got it right. It's your typical story of a young entrepreneur where, you come across failure after failure, but you have to get over that and take the next step and, wipe off your face and get back to it. And then finally we got to this point. And we didn't decide to come here until about 2 weeks ago. So we got the sample and I put it all together. And as you can see, it's the product speaks for itself. I mean, I always know I just got to bring the product here because it's so visually striking. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this because I love my product. I just know because I've experienced it at every game. If I walk into a stadium, all eyes are on my product or on me or on my girls.
Right.
We call them ball girls, by the way. And as you can see, they're very perky and very fun. But it doesn't matter if it's girls or guys. It's the same attention across the board.
Now one question I want to ask you is it comfortable?
Yes, very comfortable. Actually, let me try and show you one real quick here. Let me bring... So as you can see,
I'm looking at the inside of one of the wrecking ball helmets.
As you can see, the inside, it's fully adjustable. It's got three foam pieces, and see, there's an empty cavity, so there's enough rigidity. If you're a kid, it stays on your head. So what actually holds it in place is the rear support. It has positive, basically keeps it in place, and so it's removable. And so if you're a little kid, it's a bigger insert. If you're a guy with a large head, it's a smaller insert. And it is literally a one size fits all. We have children there wearing the exact same helmet as, say, an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part about me being an engineer is actually I've developed it all. I didn't outsource any of this. I went from what yours you see on my head, which is completely different. I'm not going to show you. That is proprietary. But to basically work our way to this smaller size, which it's stadium friendly. It doesn't block your view. But you can take it on and off. That was the other thing too. I don't like face paint. I don't like costumes. And I'm about to show you something real quick. For me, I can transform from super fan just a regular guy. And this is the same thing. I'm in a game, so I'm watching. We're on the 5-yard line. It's getting exciting. Time to get your game face on. You get the helmet on, and you're ready. You're ready for the cheering moment. Boom, you cheer, you high five, boom, and you take it off, you're back to normal. And that's what I wanted as a fan. I think a lot of other people want that too. Now, granted, I don't do that. I keep it on the whole game because I've now developed into a super fan, and I was awarded Ultimate Sports Fan from the What a Fan Sports Conference in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
So I was basically for 2014 defined as the best super fan across all sports.
Congratulations.
And all leagues. Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. We also worked with a charity called Fans Against Child Abuse at that time, and they believe it or not, I even won a free car at this conference because
what?
Of my. I know.
Wow.
For wearing a ball on my head, the positive attention has been crazy.
Yeah.
We've just organically by me showing up to events, I've been in over 200 publications, including the Wall Street Journal, like shown photographically. USA Today, Miami Herald, LA Times, Chicago Tribune, the list goes on and on. Even if you're on American Airlines this week and you go and look at your seat back at the American Way magazine, you'll see a picture of me wearing a Union Jack when I went to the London game.
Nice.
My product was shown on a U.S. Bank commercial. It has been shown in a Pepsi commercial. So I just kind of go out and get that kind of fun exposure.
It happens organically, it sounds like.
It's the purest grassroots form of a product. It's almost the American dream, where the idea, and this is what everyone says, it's so stupid and obvious. It's just a ball on your head. How come I didn't think of that? And you're right. It does seem like such an obvious idea, but yet I was lucky enough. When I went to go get it patented, I wasn't sure if I was going to get it. And then, sure enough, they said, I effectively own a patent on a ball. That's like owning a patent on a wheel, and that's what I'm proud of, is that I'm actually proud of that intellectual property side of it too. And that I recommend that if I didn't do that step, I would never have the confidence to go forward with it right now, because it has been a tremendous amount of time, money, effort to do what we've done. So
I can tell you, you stand out here, and the whole point of this show is for businesses to stand out. And amongst all of those, you have one of the most vivid colors. Most attraction to your booth, exciting for you. I'm really excited for you, because I think as a new company, you're going to see tremendous success with this. And you're still in your infancy as far as getting it out.
Oh, and actually, not only that, what's cool about it, I agree with you, because this is, it's such a fun product. That's the best part. As I always tell people, that our motto is life is a ball. It's about listen up, America, heads are going to roll. I mean, if you see it, everyone who interacts with us just smiles. It's not business. It's mixing business with pleasure, because if it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. And at the end of the day, I always tell people this. I know I have a product here, but I'm a fan first. I still am a fan first, and that'll never change. So no matter what happens, I'm still going to be the same old wrecking ball at all the sporting events.
Yeah.
Cheering on my team, because that's where the passion comes from. And
well, No, I was going to ask you, so where can people take a look at this? Because I know on a podcast, for them to visualize it, they need to see something. We're going to have some photos posted on our website, but where can they check out your product?
Well, so right now, like I said, this is the first time we've introduced it. My website is www.wreckingballhelmets.com. Wrecking is without the G, because we are from Texas. And then bottom line, and by the way, everyone always asks about wrecking ball. I was a wrecking ball before Miley Cyrus even knew what twerking was. So we've always wrecking ball was always known with sports vernacular, either a really strong, awesome play or a player that was just dominating in his field. So for me, it was an obvious connection, and I just got lucky that I got a theme song out of it. And then basically, if you go to that website, they'll see that, we're set up for wholesale orders, and we're also doing pre-sales for several items. But right now, our focus right now is just to get our name out there, let people know, hey, we've just arrived, and in a very short amount of time, we're going to be able to purchase our product.
Fantastic. Well, Greg, I want to appreciate, I appreciate you taking time to let us come and talk to you. Best of luck at the show.
All right.
And come on, we're based in San Antonio. Come down there.
I know it
might hurt you to put some Spurs gear
on. Well, so my wife is from San Antonio. And what's funny, we always talk about it. Whenever we go to the Mavs Spurs games, it's crazy. And I actually have made a Spurs helmet for her once. We have a little niece who was a big Spurs fan at the time. And so I've had to, and I've done that. But my loyalty is to the Mavs.
Absolutely.
But I agree, though. I mean, it's. it's something. I mean, we always talk about it. That was the one thing that we didn't know when we first started dating is that we're going to be like there's one day a year where I'm sleeping on the sofa.
That's right.
And that's when the Mavs play the Spurs. And
that's right.
And that is the passion of sports in our lives, and that even affects your relationship with your spouse.
And you know what's interesting though, during football season, I think San Antonio has a higher percentage of Cowboy fans than the Dallas area.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, and the Cowboys. See, I grew up in Canada, so you know, it wasn't just America's team; it was also Canada's team. Yeah. But that's also happened. I think back in the 70s, 80s, the Cowboys games always had broadcasting over the borders.
Right, right.
So I think that's why we've always seen that, because the Cowboys always had the highest ratings.
Yeah, and I actually went to a Grey Cup a couple of years ago and had a fantastic time.
So which one did you go to?
I went to the one in Ottawa.
Oh, Ottawa, yes. Yeah. And, you know, I've been to a Grey Cup, way back. I think it was the 97th one. It was a really fun Grey Cup as well.
This one was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah,
we had a blast.
And, you know, they are fun. The Canadians have a fun way of not taking themselves too seriously. And that's also another inspiration. My mother is a 22-year breast cancer survivor. And she's always been she's always had this ideal of, like, never take yourself too seriously. Live your life with a smile every day and be... always made live life to its fullest, and this is almost a testament to her because of that exact that attitude and that passion for life.
Well, I can tell you, she's probably very proud of you, because if there's anybody that's been, I've been watching from over there, and then when I came over, and you've had a smile on your face the whole time.
So
you're definitely living your mother's lifestyle is having a good time.
Oh, so. Yeah, and I know, and she, and I, you know, next year, I'm sure we'll be able to get her down here too, and she'll be able to enjoy it for herself. So life is a ball, just like we always say, and it's like, if I could do it again, I wouldn't change a thing. I'd just keep doing it. Because I've met some of the best friends of my life I've met doing this. I've had some of the best experiences. I've met some of the coolest people. I mean, like I said, this has brought me close to a world. You know, I've gotten to meet my sports heroes over the last few years. You know, and it's just opportunities that you wouldn't normally get. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen, because when I think it can't get any bigger, it just keeps getting bigger. And I feel like I am living the American dream.
Well, this is Greg Wilson with WreckingBallHelmets.com. Check it out on the website. You can also check out photos that we took here at the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show. And, Greg, I'm going to come up to Dallas, and we're going to hang out.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Actually, we'll have to do that. Actually, there's a bar called Nodding Donkey up there that I was an investor back in the day. And you'll have a good time. Have a few beers, watch some sports.
That'd be awesome, man. Right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's episode of Tailgate Radio. I want to thank my guest, Jason Fairchild, for coming in this week, and had a great conversation with him. I look forward to having him on the show again in the future. Also, Greg Wilson, the Wrecking Ball from WreckingBallHelmets.com. Go and check them out. It's a great, unique, and it's definitely an attention-getting product. And what a nice guy and a smart guy. And we had a blast talking to him in Las Vegas at the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show. Folks, I want to remind you, you can always check us out on Twitter at Tailgate Radio. Also, our website is tailgateradio.com, where all of our shows are archived. So you can go back and listen to some of our great guests like Icky Woods and Jake Plummer and Jim Ross and Paul Swaney. And a whole slew of folks that make the show what it is, a unique perspective. We're not always talking sports. We talk the whole gamut of the tailgating lifestyle. So we've had chefs, we've had sommeliers, we've had folks that are entertainers that have played on Sunday in big games. We run the gamut on tailgating and football, and coming up soon, we're going to be doing some NASCAR and some baseball and all that coming up. And there is tailgating to be had year-round. So we're super excited about that. Also want to thank once again our great sponsors that help keep the lights on. You know, there are a lot of expenses. As I talked about last week, we built a brand new studio here in San Antonio, Texas, and it weren't cheap. So being able to do that and have our sponsors help defray some of our operation costs, including our electricity and our bandwidth and our hosting and all the things that go along with that, the production time and costs associated with putting on a show every week. So we certainly appreciate that. I want to thank the staff here, Nick Cade, Michael, Jenny, Bill, Trevor. You want to check his company out when you get a chance at websmartadvisors.com. If you have a website need or a social media need, and if you're a member of the professional sports leagues, or if you're a foundation, or just don't know what you need to do, give Bill Trevor a call over at websmartadvisors.com. He is an awesome resource and a hell of a nice guy. I got to spend a little bit of time with him in Las Vegas, and we can't have a better running operation than we do right now. It's just fantastic and a joy to bring this show to you each and every week. So for everybody here, as we always say, and on the Super Bowl week, this is especially true, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Catch you on down the road.